with Dan and Francine, Professor Gary, the one and only Format, Dr. Stinky Daddy Leaks, also Tom Bernardi,
not nice.
And Aaron. And we are here arguing the merits of the Predator.
Ron Cadogai is like Ted Turner with the Georgia Milestones. He wants less pod members. He wants to call for her.
All right, Ron, which ones you want?
All right. It's like Survivor now. But let me introduce the crew again. Gannon is here. Francine is here. Format.
We'll
Dr.
eat your
Daddy
least
Leaks,
favorite cast
Todd
member.
Bernardi, Format, Aaron, and of course myself, G Money, and Professor
we'll
Barry.
Have Patreon tiers for how much you pay, and then that's the person we'll be on the
show. I'm going to tell you something. If you guys have to listen to part one of this show because we've been arguing and talking about
we're
the
vote
Predator.
Us off the island.
Yeah, and we've got Todd here making ridiculous points of how Predator 2 was an awful film and Predator was an awful film.
I didn't say they were awful films. I just said that they weren't great pieces of cinema. Like, you're not going to go back.
Saying that, though.
But if you're going to compare this one, the new one.
It's not a good movie, but it's not a good movie.
If you're going to compare this new one
it's
to the original.
It's not Citizen Kane, it's not Casablanca, it's not Wizard of Oz. But in the context of what it is, it's
those
a great movie.
But that's what I'm, and that's how I'm evaluating the new one. And I think that the new one wasn't bad. I mean, I'm not going to say, you can go back and watch the original Predator movies and pick apart people's performances and be like, this person totally couldn't act.
All right, Todd, you have a good point, but here's what I'm going to do. I want to get a word in on the Predator. So does Aaron, and then I want to talk about what you guys are talking about.
So
because
shut up, Todd.
Because I want not only do I want to talk about the fact that you
what Format's been saying this whole time. Right?
Not only did you crap on the Predator, you also crapped on the classic that is Nightmare on Elm Street, which I find a little offensive.
But it's also not. I'm not saying that's not a classic. It's just I wouldn't say that's. That's not
movie.
Back, is that a 5-star movie?
Yes. Yeah.
What
yes.
about Top Secret, Todd? What do you think about Top Secret? Val Kilmer was in that.
I mean, like, is Nightmare on Elm Street Hereditary? Like, it's not. Like, it's not the same level. Like, I totally love Nightmare on Elm Street, but I wouldn't say that it's like a.
But is Hereditary Nightmare on Elm Street either?
No, it's right. not. But exactly.
It goes two ways.
Are you
going
to go to a Walmart and buy a Hereditary costume 20 years later?
Yeah, exactly. That's
so.
What I'm saying. Yeah,
just a big head.
I'm
going to
be the naked guy with no head.
The merchandise
totally
of a movie doesn't make a good movie.
Donate my head to King Paimon and live forever, infinitely. Yes.
Perception
the eighth
of
king
it,
of hell.
What it means to them.
All right, listen. Let's.
That's why I can't wait.
Let's
These
give.
Matter in a certain way.
That's why I can't wait for like a decade when I can go to Walmart and pick up a nun costume.
Boys and girls,
can do that now.
Gannon's point is very strong because that's what we're all here for. Like that's the nerdiness of it all. Like Ghostbusters.
Absolutely.
What?
Is Ghostbusters a bad movie, Todd? Say it.
Which year?
Just
don't
say
it.
Which year?
Don't say it.
The 2016 movie. It's a masterpiece.
Oh. Shut up, your face. Well, listen. Before we all get off
that.
Of this,
the best
before this gets into chaos, which it will momentarily. Aaron,
all
you
I
watch.
I want to know is it more or less disgusting if it came from the front?
You also watched The Predator while slowly and seductively stroking Todd's beard. So, what did you think of the Predator film?
Well, I love Shane Black, but in his canon movies that he directed, wrote, this is probably the worst thing he's done.
Didn't you give it 4 stars? Though?
I did. But I mean,
but now after hearing Todd speak, now I'm not.
No,
it was a terrible movie.
It's like what G Money does when he listens to you.
I hated it.
I'm not changing any of that. But if you look at his canon of work, it really is probably his least.
But was it good?
Least
was
impactful.
It enjoyable? Did you like it?
For me, yeah. I didn't really care about.
That's all that matters.
You know, about all the physics of it. I just left my brain at the door and I enjoyed it.
Physics.
Yeah, I know
Aaron's a big physics guy.
Yeah,
exactly.
To kind of jump on Aaron's point, I was sitting next to him. I was sitting next to Todd. That's right. Anyway, we were in the theater, and I was watching The Predator. And I have to tell you, I was watching this film, and I got to say that there are so many holes in this film as far as plot line. There are things that bug the heck out of me in this movie. And I have to tell you
like
something. Number one, I hate there's a scene in the film where these guys have not figured out after all this time how to not be detected with the Predator's heat vision. which I thought was irritating because we already knew this from the original movies. That was irritating.
They don't know that.
No, but they had been researching. They even showed pictures
not
of Predator.
Not the mercenaries.
Oh, fair enough. I guess you could think about
the
it.
The guys that are actually fighting them don't know that.
I'm going to tell you something. I have to say, and this is going to sound super strange. I got to tell you that I thought that this movie, The Predator, was fun, and I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything but the ending. The ending was horrible. The climax was terrible.
If you look at all the Rotten Tomatoes scores lined up, this one is like in the lower half.
I think that's a little politically minded, though, because there was all that talk about the guy that was
You guys didn't even bring that up. Kudos, guys.
This is the thing. I know. This movie should have been...
Well, because we're talking about the movie.
The movie.
This movie
should have
been...
That's part of the movie.
Where
I do think some of that's kind of motivated by, you know...
They got
it because of
they got dinged for that. You think?
I think so. That colors people's perception.
Really?
I got to tell
Absolutely.
You something.
Wow!
This movie's release date should have been where The Meg was, because this movie blows The Meg out of the water. I think that this movie
and the
is.
The Meg is awfully big to get blown out.
Yeah,
of the water.
Exactly. And I got to tell you something. For as mistake filled as this movie is, it was still fun. The magic of Thomas Jane and Keegan Michael Key and the rest of those guys was a lot of fun. There was humor brought into the picture, which never happened before, really. And I got to tell you something. I thought The Predator was really good. I enjoyed it, even with all of the ridiculous potholes in it. There were things that just made zero sense in the film. And you're right, Olivia Munn was not good in the film. But I will say this.
She was the best part of the movie.
She was actually one of the better parts of the movie. Yeah.
Olivia Munn was the best.
Thomas Jane should have been the star, though.
Oh, wait, this isn't for... No, we're good.
Yeah.
He should have been the star.
Yeah.
I think you're close enough.
I think Thomas Jane is too old, but I do think that the lead actor was not good enough for this lead role.
I liked this better than I liked him in Logan.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I agree too.
Dwayne Acoba is listening to the Nerd Watch out loud on his patio.
Nice. I couldn't stand the dogs in the movie.
Yeah, the dogs were dumb.
Pay attention to the voices in your head.
The dogs were dumb.
The dogs killed me.
Yeah, I have to tell you something.
I'm not gonna lie. I actually like that part.
Really?
I did.
I didn't like it. That was the part
the guy
I didn't like.
That didn't like the Gamma Dogs. You
That's
like
true.
The in the context of this movie and the way that it's brought into the film, yes. Now, if those dogs fought the Hulk, and that's the main thing the Hulk fights other than
a
giant scary cloud at the end of the movie,
right.
Those are two completely different things.
Fair enough. Now, listen.
Fantastic Four fought a giant cloud.
And that sucked too.
I'm gonna say that I'm going to give Predator, The Predator.
The Predator.
I'm actually going to give it, I was going to give it three.
But
after listening to Barry, I'm going to give it 2.5. but it's a good 2.5. It's a good,
it's a good two and a half.
It's a good 2.5.
You don't
movie.
Have to
the lower end of the scale.
It's okay to have a different opinion than him.
Not always. Anyway.
Take it from me. I'm the guy that wants
after,
to lose his job.
After
Nobody's
I listen.
Prouder than having a different opinion than me.
After I listen to.
Sometimes I watch movies and be like, I guarantee you Barry's going to like this piece of crap. You know what? I hate this now.
That's exactly what we said about Megan. He loved it. Piece of crap.
Someone at Maui Time, please fire Barry.
That's word for word what I said.
What were you going to say, Todd?
I'm changing my. I hated it too, like Barry.
Wow.
So. I didn't hate it. I just didn't like it.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
like you with Nightmare on Elm Street. I just didn't like. Or Predator, the original Predator.
I'm not saying that it was bad. I just didn't say it was a great movie. I think that this movie and the Predator 1 and 2 are the same movie.
I think that there's a little bit more
humor in this movie, and I think that that's because of the MCU, the way that they use humor, and I think that that's why they turned this into a superhero.
I think Shane Black and Fred Deckard.
But everything does, because as far as live action goes, those are the biggest movies that are making.
I kind of agree with Todd, because that's
Shane Black's responsible for Iron Man 3.
That's the way this movie has been designed. Absolutely.
Now, Professor Barry, I would like you to give Todd a tongue lashing and tell him why Predator, why the Predator, the original Predator, is such a great
film. Yeah, you have to talk about Predators. Give him a tongue lashing.
I won't do that. No, I actually took some notes, because I actually. I addressed this. I taught a class called Films of the 80s, and we talked about Predator. Predator, you know, came out the same year as RoboCop, and I feel RoboCop is probably the best film of that year. That's the year of, you know...
RoboCop 1987 is the best film of this year.
All right.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
It was terrifying.
I'd buy that for a dollar. It's perfect, and Predator is not on that level, but what it is, I mean, this is John McTiernan starting his career as a real, like... His thing about action movies was always to find the square root of another story, and I always loved that about him. He always said about Hunt for Red October, like, it's Treasure Island. You know, whatever, Tom Clancy, it's Treasure Island.
Good.
And he would say, you know, with Die Hard, it's you know, like, same thing with all of his movies. He always finds the square root of what it is. And with Predator, like, I remember when I showed this to a, you know, a class of, like, college students, and, you know, we talked about how, like, just some notes I took. Like, we talked about how it came out around the time of Iran-Contra, so it's like this unintentional commentary on Iran-Contra in a really interesting way. It's about militarism in a very interesting way. It's about soldiers versus a hunter, that whole principle. It's about indigenous warriors versus colonialism. There's a lot going on in that film. The fact that the Predator has dreadlocks is an intentional choice. It's an interesting choice. The fact that everybody in Dutch's squadron is very mixed. It's not just a bunch of white guys. It's not just a bunch of black guys. It's very mixed.
Yeah.
It's a real commentary on what a soldier is and the different, you know, and how soldiers can have different faces and come from different backgrounds and be different people. At the same time, so it's like you can look at the film as the Predator being the antagonist or the protagonist. Gotcha. You could look at Dutch being the bad guy, but really Dutch is an Austrian soldier taking on basically an indigenous warrior who has an African-American appearance and has even an African even decor about the way he's attired. But there's also a Native American sense of the Predator because he's a collector. Mm-hmm. He has a discipline. He has a tribe. It's a fascinating look at what it means to be a hunter. I feel like Predator is definitely comparable to the first Terminator because it's a very down and dirty 80s movie. It is, for the time, it was state of the art, but it's a real commentary on, like, well, who's the real hero of this piece? Because at the end of the film, there is one real survivor, and it's the young woman, and she's petrified, and the so-called hero of the movie is, like, covered in ash. He barely survived.
Right.
It has this real cynical ending. Like, it's not a happy ending. It's not a victorious ending. It doesn't set up for a sequel. It's just, it's very defeatist. And what I love about Predator 2, same ending. At the end of the film, Danny Glover is covered with soot, and he basically just barely survived, you know, and he survives by being given this trophy.
Right.
You know, that, I mean, what does that symbolize? He's like, the Predator saying, like, you are a worthy warrior. So it has
worthy hunter,
worthy warrior. Worthy
I also kind of took it as that Predator lost out of hubris because it was kind of portrayed to be a younger Predator. So it probably
didn't it? Yeah, it kind of did.
Yeah, it was,
and it was also an urban environment. So this is, you know, you're switching the commentary in this.
And it's fascinating, yeah, because I mean the ridiculous thing about that movie it's L.A. overrun by, you know, killer Jamaicans. Okay, whatever. But the main
dreadlocks, bro.
What? I was just there last year. It looks exactly
They're
like
everywhere.
That.
They're everywhere. There's Jamaicans with Uzis taking ridiculous amounts of cocaine.
Guy just flat out just mashing on his face.
It's true.
Like, let's get some machine guns.
It's true. It's true.
But the fact that the main character is an African-American is interesting. Mm-hmm. And the villain of the piece, Keys, is a white guy, Gary Busey. He's very good in that film. And, of course, you also
Jake
got not
Busey
only Bill,
great
not only Bill Paxton. Yeah, he is good in that. Bill Paxton and Maria Conchita Alonso. Like, again, it's a real mixed cast, which is refreshing. Because it's not saying, okay, it's not the white guys versus the black guys. It is about the sense of warriors versus hunters, soldiers versus colonialism, who is right, who is wrong. Because over the course of The Predator, I mean, The Predator is in the first film. He is clearly the most interesting character in the film. He's able to mimic these soldiers. He's able to outthink them. He is a part of the jungle, which is fascinating.
Is that a flying razor disc?
There's a Joseph Campbell aspect to the Predator.
Oh, yeah, no,
there's
there is.
A Joseph Campbell aspect to that whole journey. And there's this great montage where the two of them are, like, getting ready to go to war against each other. And you're like, well, who the heck is going to win this? Because they're both afraid of each other. Mm-hmm. I remember when Schwarzenegger was interviewed the week before this movie came out. It was on, I think it was Good Morning America. And I'll never forget this. Jane Pauley asked, like, is this movie scarier than The Terminator? He's like, oh, yeah, it's much scarier than The Terminator.
Much scarier.
I'm like, no. And we all knew it wasn't going to be that scary. And, you know, and sure enough, you see Predator. No, it's not really a horror film. It is an action movie. But I think it is one of the best films John McTiernan has made. This is the guy who's Die Hard and Hunt for Red October, and certainly Die Hard 3 are among the greatest action movies
Predator
ever made.
Better than Die Hard?
No, but I would put it in that caliber.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. And I feel like everything he did until, like, Thomas Crown was pretty solid. I really
you could
like
apply that. You could apply the same rubric or commentary to this movie with the fact that these modern warriors and the only ones that could take on the Predator are the ones that with PTSD, they're suffering from PTSD, and I think that there's this whole subtext there.
I think they were the only ones that could have done it.
Well, they're the only
they
ones.
They're the ones that got stuck with it.
Well, they're the ones. They're the ones that that ran into the fire.
Yeah.
You know, the other ones, the other guy, I can't remember the
gentleman who
the CIA guy
the gentleman who was actually I guess in charge of the operation when they caught the Predators that you're talking about he seemed
Sterling Hayden seemed
a little too mustache twirly for me, like he felt like a
you know the character that had the nobility who I thought like if anybody's going to defeat the character it's this if anyone's going to defeat the Predator it's going to be this character it was the kid because I thought it's got to be the kid because he's clearly the if there is a good protagonist in this film it's the kid he's the one who suffered he has a backstory he's overcoming something on another level not just like overcoming PTSD he's overcoming you know the daily hardship that is his life. But I don't think the film developed any of that really properly.
Yeah, but he killed those guys in the house on Halloween.
How cool. Yeah, like he showed up the bullies.
Yeah. The helmet did.
He didn't have any control over that. That was something that he...
He did. Remember, he's on a spectrum that the Predators want.
You know, not to... I might get in a lot of trouble saying this, but in 87... It's Arnold that was kind of like the thing that got the Predators respect, in which case would have been a trophy if he beat Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2018, autism is the thing that a Predator is after. So are we saying that autism is the new Schwarzenegger?
Possible,
but the interesting thing is that I find
like
what's fascinating.
People that are autistic or like,
well, there's this
basically
whole,
like Austrian strongman.
But they just—you notice what's something interesting, and this is the problem I had with the ending was they just killed the Predator, right? Spoilers! They just killed the Predator. Right?
I already spoiled the fact that the Predator's after the kid. Well, he actually did.
But I mean, they don't. There's no.
I know what happens.
There's no sense of respect for any of the characters other than Olivia Munn in the very beginning of the film.
Yeah, and I wanted to thank you for bringing that up because there's that moment in Predator 2, which I always thought was really interesting. Predator 2 for me is it's like everything that's excessive and ridiculous about 90s era action movies, but there's great stuff in it. Particularly the odd moment where the Predator has mercy on Maria Cachita Alonso's character because using his vision he realizes she's pregnant.
Ooh,
and he walks away from
that's
her.
That's right.
That's an interesting moment.
That's right.
It's like, well, who cares? Like, what he has like you know he'll draw a line with this. Yeah, apparently he does. Yeah,
they have a code.
And with in this same thing in this film.
From the future, they strap little kids to their bellies and they hunt the predators.
That's pretty sick, actually. It's cool, though.
It's to the credit
You're
of
welcome.
Shane.
You're Shane welcome, Black. Hollywood.
It's to the credit of Shane Black that when Olivia Munn has a nude scene in this film, she's not exploited. I thought that was admirable because she's done a lot of nude scenes, so it felt like, okay, they're clearly going to.
She has?
Magic Mike, man. You're welcome. So yeah, she's done a lot of
America.
Now I've got to watch that.
You guys are all getting
show.
On Netflix tonight. Watch
opening scene. Yeah, so she's done nudity, and if anyway they didn't exploit her, which was admirable. And then they had that interesting moment. It's like okay, the Predator is going to spare her. Why? They never really explained it, but it's interesting that the Predator is able to draw a line
in the
sand.
She wasn't armed. That's how I felt, too, yeah.
She could have been clothed and not armed.
She was pregnant.
Yeah.
But she was in the delousing thing.
I didn't understand. I didn't understand, like, she's a scientist, right? But all of a sudden, she knows how to handle an M16 with a grenade
launcher.
Well, I mean,
if you know what? I just saw this podcast. I could probably grab a gun and go shooting stuff.
I guess. That was
not weird. Well, I think that the fact that... I don't
know if I'd be any good at it. They didn't set up that she was.
You don't have to have training.
Well, she the first the
they didn't say she was a sniper.
Girls
all of a
do.
She had a the first gun that she handled was a tranquilizer
gun,
and she shot herself.
Shot herself in the that's true.
So I mean, if you're gonna, there's a natural progression with these characters. I think within the course of the story, and she got a little bit better with a gun.
Okay, fair
okay,
enough. Fine.
She, and it's fine that she can, you know. I think it's a little sexist to say that women can't shoot guns.
They should have gave her a switch hands.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
It was a little strange that she jumped straight into action, though.
Correct. That's my... That,
she's
maybe
just
that's,
been thrust into this world where aliens are real. She just watched this thing kill
maybe
everybody
that's my problem.
In the room that was also military personnel.
Correct.
and she grabbed a tranquilizer gun.
And she thrust herself into it.
She was straight into action, and nothing about her suggests she could have been.
But when you're a scientist, you're not going to run away from the thing that you're studying the most. You know, she wanted
if
to
I saw that thing were wake up on a it? Table, kill everyone, I don't care about studying it right now.
In the beginning, it is revealed to her that they have been studying the Predator.
That's, but I mean, if you look this at like a
same
movie
predator?
Like
different one.
Oh. Is it Contagion or the outbreak or something? The
monkey.
Yeah, the monkey one. Right. The scientists run towards that disease because they want to study it and they want to cure those people.
The disease.
Which is horrifying.
And they're in hazmat suits.
She's
know that they're fairly protected. She is
she's
not
running
a
after it with a tranquilizer gun.
What's clearly
in
a
her
very well trained, you know, warrior killing everything in a room, and she's just like, I need to go do something about it. It's
I think
a bit hard for me to buy it.
Yeah, I am with
I
you.
I think that
that.
The I think that something could have happened. I think that
I'm not even making that like it's a woman thing, because you know what, I would have been like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, me too. No, he's right, because I would too. I
would have left. I think nobody in this room would be like, you know what, I want to go after that predator.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it was, but it, I mean, if God, this is so theoretical. But I'm not trying to. All I was saying was that this movie lives up to the same. Rubrics that we're judging, you know, the first two. Yes.
Fair enough. I see that.
I think that they. I mean, I think that they.
Did
I
you
think.
Like
the,
Olivia
yes, Mark, the best.
I thought that it was.
Because
I thought that it was okay.
Like you're really rushing to her aid.
Because
everybody was on the same level, and as soon as they said Olivia Munn is a terrible actor, you were like, "This movie was bad. I hated this movie."
But Olivia Munn.
So I don't understand where you're coming from.
Well, I thought the kids sucked too, if I'm being honest.
I think that I don't think that there was a really a great performance in this film.
No.
But I don't think that there was a great performance from Schwarzenegger in the original one.
All right.
Like that handshake? Come on, man. That was so robotic, man.
He's a real wooden stock character. He looked great, but he wasn't a very good actor. He's never been a very good actor.
Well, yeah, that's why
he's
so
great in Terminator.
Have you not? He's great in Terminator.
Yeah, because he's playing a robot.
I know that, but that's what makes it great.
Have you not seen Maggie?
All the Schwarzenegger
he's
movies
great
are
in
connected,
Maggie.
Right?
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, universe. he's also been acting for 40 years. You would think that he'd develop a little bit of a talent after 40 years.
John Wayne was an actor for a long time.
He has, but on top of that, though, he also the one thing about Schwarzenegger that he understood, the same thing Schwarzenegger understood, along with Sylvester Stallone and even Bruce Willis in some cases, not all but some, they realized their place in Hollywood. Okay. Arnold realized that he wasn't going to be doing drama for the rest of his life. He was going to be making movies.
Sylvester was great in Rocky. The first Rocky was amazing.
No. What I'm saying is, though, that I love the Rocky movies. I'm not dissing the Rocky movies at all. But what I am saying, though, is that the further along that they got.
He was great in the first Rambo movie, too.
Open up a restaurant together.
Correct, absolutely. But
I would say that Schwarzenegger is a great performer, but not a great actor.
Right, I'd also say that as well.
So, but regardless, I mean, I just don't think that these Predator movies have to have a great performance and great story to be enjoyed.
I think that the fact that you're
dressing down this movie based on you know some of these criticisms is like, wait a second, the first Predator. Wasn't that great, and we've had 20 years to look back and assign 30. This 30 years to look back and assign these deeper subtexts to this movie. You're talking about how this could have been a commentary on Iran-Contra, but I don't think that one actual critic would have said that this is a commentary.
They did.
They did actually. That, and back in that time, they actually were making comparisons to that.
Yep.
And it was interesting that the criticisms that were coming out and people enjoying it on that level were the critics. They were surprised at how, even though it wasn't overt for us now, it was pretty overt back then, and people were actually making those comparisons when the first Predator came out. So I have to tell you something. Although I disagree with you, I think your point is well taken. You're right. The Predators don't have to have good performances to make them fun movies, for sure.
And they don't have to have solid,
in-world logic
sure.
to make them, you know, entertaining either.
So on this criteria, does that mean Alien vs. Predator movies are good now?
No. 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 No.
Because they're not...
Never.
And that's my point. I mean, I think that, like, if you wanted to look at this within the greater context of the culture that we live in,
yeah.
with the PTSD, with the soldiers that are coming back from
sure.
Iraq and mm-hmm. Afghanistan, if you want to talk about the autism spectrum,
mm-hmm.
if you want to talk about the roles of female characters and how they can be action heroes,
mm-hmm.
I think that this is actually a lot more progressive than the original films.
No, I mean that's obvious. That doesn't even have to be said. You're absolutely right.
In 2018, it should be.
Yeah, I mean that's obvious.
They tried to do that in 2016 with the Ghostbusters movie, and there was this huge backlash.
No, they didn't. They made a garbage.
They did the same. Wait, to be fair, if we're going to talk about women things, they tried to do the same thing with Ocean's 8, and that failed miserably.
So
Ocean's 8's not a bad movie.
No. I'm not saying that, but I
wasn't a big fan of it.
On a popular,
there was nothing about it that I could say.
On a box office level, it didn't make anything. There was no money to be made.
So I think that this new Predator film was A, entertaining. Mm-hmm. I think that it was great to see somebody with you had this savant character in The Boy, which is something almost a stock character that Shane Black uses from film to film. He used it in Iron Man 3. The kid saves Tony Stark's life in Iron Man 3. You've got...
It becomes...
Yeah.
Shane Black does that, to be fair, with Todd's argument. He always brings kids in. He always
did that in Last Boy Scout.
Last Boy Scout as well, yeah.
So you've got... And then you've got people... that are on the fringe of society with mental illness, and they're the only ones that would have even believed that this main character saw an alien, because they're crazy enough and they're different enough that they could all band together and also run into the fire.
Fair enough.
I think that you've got this brotherhood of rejects that mm-hmm. are the ones that are going to go up against this guy, and then you've got the military or intelligence agency
mm-hmm.
That are also fighting with these guys, and while the predators are attacking both. So I think that this is a really interesting film. I think that there's a lot of different things that you could say about this. And you can say the same things about this movie that you can say about the original Predator or the Predator 2.
Interesting. Now, Todd, after Professor Barry roasted you about
that
the
was
Predator.
A roast?
Yeah.
Well, you can't say that this part is a part, or this movie is a part of the Schwarzeneggers.
You can't, because he turned down the role because he was supposed to be in it.
Yeah.
So that's a real shame.
Wait, so it's not part of the Schwarzenegger universe?
That's correct.
No, there's a lot of
that's
stuff.
That's not true.
No. He's talking about the actual, where every movie that Schwarzenegger is in is actually part of its bigger universe.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Which is impossible. Anyway, because where does Batman and Robin fit? But anyway.
That's true.
It's a simulation. It's a Terminator simulation.
Now, listen.
The base movie is Terminator.
All right.
All the other movies are simulations.
That is crazy.
To get him...
Holy crap.
To get him used to human interaction.
Wow.
That's why that handshake is so weird. Because he's trying to greet on a human level,
but he can't. That is sick. That's actually pretty cool. Wow. So,
I'm on board with this.
I'm actually on board with it, too. Predator, not Professor Barry's cup of tea. I liked it. Of course, Aaron liked it. I don't know where Todd stands, but I think he enjoyed it.
It's a 2.5-star movie.
Good. 2.5-star movie. Hey, grab that mic since Alika's not here, so Aaron can use that one. There you go. Very
Alika,
good.
He's not going to talk much anyway. What's the difference?
That's true. Now, hey, listen. Now, before we move, we're going to move on now because I do want to get into something that was broached, and I almost think it's sacrilege.
And it works for all of them.
We got to get to hard media soon, but can we get on the last show we were just talking about?
The simulator. I will be a man who gives birth to a little baby.
Because Skynet is trying to
reproduce.
Figure out how to relate to human females,
right?
At the reproductive level.
That is insane.
But it only knows the male, because at this point in the storyline,
right.
Skynet only makes male robots.
This is interesting.
So, Junior.
This is interesting.
Exactly. That's why they made lady robots later.
Wow. That is
because insane. They were like, oh, we screwed up.
That's true. That's very true. Now it's time in the show where... I know, it works. Now it's time in the show where Gannon rips apart Todd for his disgusting opinion about Nightmare on Elm Street. Last pod, we were talking about Nightmare on Elm Street and how... Todd thinks it's inferior, and even Professor Barry agrees.
Wait, so I brought that up completely willy-nilly and had something to do with last week?
Yeah, no, interesting. No, last pod. Because we were just talking about, he was just talking about, remember,
oh.
Remember how he was talking about, he was,
for a minute there, he was talking about like it happened like a while back.
No, we're talking about last pod.
I'm
like
that, I don't care.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you would say that.
His opinion of someone's not going to change mine?
I'm not saying that, but it's an interesting opinion because I haven't found very many people that actually don't like A Nightmare on Elm Street, at least
sure
the original.
You said that.
It's made it sound like you didn't like.
What I said was I didn't think it was like a. It wasn't a great film. Like, but it goes back to the thing that I said about Predator. It's an entertaining film, and I think that it's and if you just you don't pick apart and candle every detail so you can find flaws with the logic in the story, and you just kind of just release yourself and let the film wash over you. I think that it's an entertaining flick. Mm. All I'm saying is that you can't. It's probably not the. I mean, you go back and you look at the special effects and the effect shots. You know, I think some of the film looks dated compared to some things. I think that, but I still think it's an entertaining film. I still think that it's scary. I still think that it's a fun horror flick.
You can't with that logic that would mean that The Bride of Frankenstein is just okay. The Bride of Frankenstein is one of the top 10 greatest horror movies of all time.
But
I think that Nightmare on Elm Street belongs in there. No, that's very true too.
But I don't think that Predator is, I think that Predator was. I'm not saying that Predator was a bad movie, but I think that the new Predators. The new movie, it holds up to the originals.
Wow. Well, no, I was just kind of curious about the whole Freddy Krueger thing.
I think you were just trying to
because I don't understand. I have never met anybody that doesn't like Nightmare on Elm Street. Sure, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Doesn't like it.
That's what I had a problem with.
And I didn't say it sucked. I just said I don't think it's a great film.
The fact that you're even iffy on it is what's bothering me.
Well, I don't think that it's like I said, I don't think that it's a great film. I think that it survived through its merchandising. I think that, like you said earlier, I think that, like, you know, it's...
I was making a point about cultural impact.
Yeah. But I think that, I think that some of the Night of
You're going to see Dracula fangs for the rest of the time. You're probably going to see Freddy Krueger costumes for the rest of the time.
And Frankenstein mask.
Yes.
Yeah.
The mayor of Los Angeles tried to have Freddy Krueger Day in L.A.
We actually just passed it a little while ago, too.
That's
the 14th?
That's great use of government money.
I thought, he tried to do it, back in the day, and people were like...
Well, people still celebrate the day. I don't know if it was ever officially declared, but people still kind of celebrate it. Yeah,
it actually is kind of a big deal.
It was set up on when Phrase Dead came out.
I'm assuming that Jaws, Freddy Krueger, Jason, and of course Michael Myers would all be considered pop culture icons. I'm guessing at this point.
Well, let's ask the professor.
Bruce
what
is the name of the shark.
Yes.
What do you think
Bruce,
about
Freddy?
Bruce, Freddy, Jason, and Michael Myers. Roger.
What do you think about Nightmare on Elm Street versus
Nightmare on Main Street?
No, I mean versus any other horror movie in the genre. Like, what do you think about the cultural impact and why it survived for so long?
Because it does tap into something that's very universal. It is the mystery of sleep. It is about, it deals with a lot of Freudian things. And the opening scene of the first movie.
In
the opening film, the main character is running down this hallway and it's just completely dank and unsavory. There's sheep running by. It's very Freudian. It's very disturbing. The film, when it came out at a time where horror films were getting a little predictable and a little over the top with the gore, and here comes a movie that's very inventive and very inventive with its sadism. It's a movie about it taps into safer than Halloween does. It taps into the fear of the small town, about the secrets that our parents keep from us, our fears of becoming our parents. It is about how we can't trust authority figures, in this case a janitor in a local school. We can't trust our parents with the things they're keeping from us. Mm. It is about how we're afraid that even though our father may be the chief of police, he can't save us. About how the boy next door, even though he may look like Johnny Depp, he can't save us.
Even in that half shirt?
Especially not in that half shirt. each the Nightmare on Elm Street series, to me, it's a very big deal, and I think you share this with me. Like, I do feel like it is the best of the horror movie franchises, because every single one of those films are about a different topic. That is, it's not just because they're great, and I think they are great, and it's not just because they're all so inventively done. It's real hands-on indie filmmaking, which I love every one of those films. Mm. But everyone is about something very different and pertinent. The first film, you know, is about a young woman, about her loss of innocence, about her rediscovering herself. And it really is a film about empowerment. And that's the reason why I love the ending. I know it is ridiculous, but I do love the ending because it is about empowerment. The second film, whether it's intention or not, it is definitely, you know, a movie about gay panic. It's about homophobia.
It is.
But it's also a celebration of a young man who's dealing, you know, struggling with his gayness and not being able to express it. It's all over that film, and that makes that film even more fascinating than it is, because it's not the greatest film, but man, looking at it from a point of view of subtext, it's fascinating. The third film,
it's actually a little bit more interesting than the first film.
No, it
because
is.
Of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the third film about mental illness.
My favorite one.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. And it's dealing with kids who are like, they're really cool nerds. They're really cool nerds, but they're on the fringes of society. They're outsiders. They're weird. They're misfits. And for whatever reason, they're suicidal, and they're in this asylum. And really, like, Freddy is just one of the things that they have to work through.
Right.
The fourth film is fascinating because, man, it is all about the MTV generation. That movie is about the 80s. It's about the 80s as much as Revenge of the Nerds is about the 80s.
Yeah.
The fifth film, which most people hate, and the fifth film makes some stupid decisions, but it is about a young woman who decides to have a baby. It's almost like if someone took the Madonna Papa Don't Preach video and turned it into a horror film.
Because Dream Warriors, Dream Master, and Dream Child, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Dream Child, like, I love...
Dream Child is kind of where Elm Street fans had to deal with the idea of growing up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good point.
Because it is about a mother dealing, you know, and it's very personal. It's very creepy because Freddy Krueger is giving her unborn baby nightmares, which is a really eerie idea. Not a perfect film. And of course, the last film is about growing up. It's about, you know, putting our boogeyman aside. You know,
right.
The supposed last film, Freddy's Dead. And then when you get to Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is one of my favorite movies. It just is. I think it's a brilliant film. It's a movie within a movie about a movie within a movie. It's a brilliant film.
Wes
Craven's New Nightmare.
Nightmare, yeah.
Good brilliant, movie. Brilliant film. Yeah, so for me, the Nightmare on Elm Street movies are all very valuable. I think Nightmare on Elm Street is one of the greatest horror films ever made.
You didn't talk about Freddy's Dead, though, which is probably the greatest one.
He did.
I did. I said it's about growing up.
He glanced over
it. I mean, it's goofy, but there's some great stuff in it. And that movie is about the 90s as much as the Dream.
It's a little David Lynch, or at least they're trying to
ape David Lynch.
It's very David Lynch, but it also has a lot of 90s hallmarks. So it's a film about its time as much as Number 4 is also about its time.
I have a question as horror guys here. Well, Freddy versus Jason, is it in the timeline of Jason, or is it the timeline of Freddy?
I feel like it's a bonus track, and not a really great one, but it's say it's outside of.
I think it's contained in a bottle, but it doesn't negate anything. It's the best way to explain it, because they don't specifically name anything. Yeah. But Hypnosil is a part of the movie,
right?
Which tells you it is connected to the Elm Street franchise.
The
only thing that makes it difficult to deal with that movie is how close Elm Street and Crystal Lake are to each other.
Right? No.
Because one is in Illinois and the other one's supposed to be in New Jersey.
Well, right. That freaked me out, number one. The other thing that bothered me...
They literally drive there in 15 minutes.
It didn't bother me, but I thought the way they set up the Freddy vs. Jason movie was fascinating. You bring back Jason to scare the kids to bring back Freddy. I thought that was really cool.
It's a tiny bit of a weak plot device.
I liked it. Yes. Franin.
I think one of the things about the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise is that they happen to make the villain in this, the boogeyman, someone who's kind of charming, even though he was a pedophile.
Yeah, when they tell the backstory, retell it.
Yeah.
And then when they did the new version, it was a lot more apparent he was the pedophile guy.
You do not mention that movie in the same breath.
No. But I'm saying it made it as creepy as the first one should have been.
Yuck.
No, I actually appreciated the remake because it made Freddy not someone who's...
sympathetic or charming.
Because growing up, I watched that. I was 5 when I started
culture
watching
figure,
Nightmare on Elm Street movies. It scared the heck out of me, absolutely. But I still kept watching because everyone else around me was laughing. And so I kept trying to, be a grown-up and, understand why it was so entertaining to everyone else, even though it scared the crap out of me. So,
Freddy literally was in my dreams as a child. And I, like, it's, you know, it, but I still,
and he had that imagery with the glove
and
the.
I remember sitting in front of the TV and, like, crying, and people telling me, don't watch the movie, go to your room. And I'd be like, I can't, I have to watch it. Like, I have to keep watching this movie. And was completely addicted to this, like, charismatic but terrifying, like, guy who was going to be in my dreams. Like, it was kind of real life. It's terrifying. But, yeah, but he made him like, funny and cool and hip, and everyone wanted to be Freddy Krueger with the glasses and, like, make snarky comments as he killed you. Like,
yeah. Have a heart.
That's different from the other, like, horror movies. Like, Jason didn't do that. Jason didn't talk, you know?
No, and I think that's what I think that was my biggest problem with the.
He had awesome theme music, though.
Yeah, I did. That was my biggest problem with the new Nightmare on Elm Street film. That the problem with that one was is that he was not. The fact is, the original Freddy, you're not supposed to like him, but yet on some kind of cellular level, you actually appreciate him, and I think that
on
should
a
make
cellular
you.
Cellular level.
You know, I mean, well,
cellular.
I meant on a celluloid level, like on a film level. Oh. Excuse me.
On the Boost Mobile.
That's level. That's a technical term, right?
So what I was saying was, is that I think, interestingly enough, Robert Englund is supposed to be charming, and we're supposed to have this, like, we're supposed to be creeped out that we like this guy, and the fact that he's got this really awkward past, but yet we kind of relate to him, and I think that that should make us feel weird, and I think that's what makes,
you
that's what's pretty cool.
As a pedophile burn victim.
No, I'm not supposed to like him at all, but yet we find him fascinating. You know what I mean? Like, we're not supposed to like him at all. The new Freddy.
We're kind of rooting for him in a way because it's like hilarious that he's killing off these teenagers.
That's my point, is that we're rooting for this guy, and we shouldn't be rooting for this guy. This guy is evil incarnate, but yet for some reason,
you know,
as I was
watching the movie, even though I was terrified of it, I'm never once thinking about his backstory, about the, you know, the pedophilia and killing kids and all that crap. Like, you're just thinking about him as Freddy Krueger, the character, and don't even really care where he comes from or whatever.
I will say you're right. I will say that after the first movie, that does kind of, that light dims for his background.
I watched it as a kid. I think that has a lot to do with it. Is like, as 80s babies, we experience it a lot different. You know, we had this movie that's supposed to be this scary movie and whatever.
Right.
And be a horror movie. But he was really a pop culture icon.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't really escape him. I didn't watch the first movie. I think the third or fourth was the first time I watched it. But we knew about the glove. You knew about the hat and the striped sweater. And that was Freddy. And, you know, it was a weird experience because it's kind of like it came from the era that made cartoons out of R-rated movies. It was marketing this stuff that's not for kids to kids, you know?
He connected, I think, more because he was crafted. Everything had a reason behind it.
Well, that's Wes Craven.
It wasn't just like, all right, this looks creepy, we'll just throw it on. Right, there was actually a reason why it's green and red stripes on his you know, his sweater.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why there's a brown hat. There's a reason why there's
scars. Because
he's a Nirvana fan.
Huh?
No.
Nirvana came a little bit later, I think.
But it's so weird that you say that, and I just didn't think about it, but you're right. Everybody's first experience with, I mean, not mine, but a lot of people that I know, their first experience with Freddy is the third film.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Actually, it's because you're old. The second one, believe it or not.
Yeah, the first one I saw was the first one.
For me, but my favorite is The Dream Warriors, just because my mother was a junkie when I remember. Well, not my mother, but my mother was around heroin, and my aunts were junkie. Well, one of my aunts was junkies, and I watched her overdose in front of me. So for me, seeing that lady being forced to shoot up heroin, like, fucking ingrained in my brain because I had seen someone overdose. So, like, for me, that was, I don't know, just. It kind of left an impression.
What's weird is that you've totally brought new context to this, and it kind of depressed me.
Wow.
That's like,
let's
make
it all about you and
holy
how you
cow,
feel.
That was kind of depressing.
Thanks for telling us that story, Francine. You bummed me out.
You bummed me out.
No.
Oh, my mom's not a jerk, but I mean, my aunt's were jerk.
No,
I was like, whoa, dude.
Like, I'm trying to, like, rephrase it in my brain because I remember it because I don't really think about it very often because it's just part of my, like, my back history, and I don't talk about it. So
I think I was like 13 or 14 when I saw the one with Johnny Depp, and I saw
which is the one with Johnny
Depp.
He was in two different ones.
I think it was the first one, and I saw it, and we watched.
I was being very semantic. I'm sorry.
We watched the whole. I mean, we watched like the first four, I think, and I just didn't think that I didn't care for them, and I was with younger, you know. Guys that were like, you know, I was like, I think I was like 13 or 14. These guys so were like 12.
You're a Jason guy. That's basically what we're getting at here.
No, I mean, I'm not really a horror movie guy anyway. I think that there's a real interesting like thing aspect to horror films. I think that it's fear pornography. It just is gonna. We're just working on something.
Do you like anything?
No.
Man, he loves that Perry Cuomo, man.
But you know, on some level, I think everybody likes to be scared. I mean, to be quite honest.
Well, I'm just. You know, I don't. But my first
exposure. Speaking of like being scared, is to Friday the 13th. I think this is the second movie, because he has the Jason mask, is the kids hanging upside down by a sling.
That's the third movie.
And he casually walks by and slits the kid's throat, and he just bleeds out hanging upside down.
That's the third one, because in the second one,
one of my mom's friend's house, and they had a young kid, too. And for some reason, this TV was... maybe I'm remembering this weird because it was traumatic, but it was just in a closet in a hallway, a TV. And I walk by the hallway closet, and the TV is on.
Like fear porn.
Nobody was watching it. And then it was that scene.
Wow.
And I saw it, and I was like...
When I was, like...
I was
four when, for whatever reason, and I was at my grandma's house, and my two older cousins, who I totally looked up to, were there. And my grandma had one of those TVs with the buttons that you push in to change the channels. It had, like, 10 channels, right?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, The Exorcist was on.
Yes.
And we didn't realize this, but her TV was broken, so we went to go change the channel, but every button
it seemed
pushed,
like The Exorcist was possessed into the TV.
It was literally on every channel because the TV
You're trying to escape it, and it's, like,
it
speaking to you.
Me so much.
You know what movie scared me?
Watch me, Francine. Watch me.
The movie that frightened me the most, and you guys are going to laugh at this. I mean, because my first experience with horror movies is probably the original The Thing from Another World with Howard Hawks.
As in not John Carpenter.
Not John Carpenter.
Don't say the 1950s horror
movies. No, it is.
Stop it.
I love that movie.
Don't make yourself seem
How
cool.
did you watch this as a child?
Your favorite late night show was Ernie Kovacs.
Do I have to? Do I have to explain this to you? My father is my gateway drug into nerddom. But here's no.
He's like G. Willikers, son.
With your dad?
No. It's not the thing.
It's time for some time travel, son.
That scared me when I was a kid. But the thing that scared me the most was, and this is the funny part is that when HBO was a new thing, and then when you used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. Yeah.
When that opening credits for HBO in the day.
Yeah.
If you were fortunate enough to see it.
What's the movie that scared me? And I laugh at it now because it's such a great movie.
Exorcist 2.
No.
The Heretic.
The Return of the Living Dead. That movie.
Black and white?
Freaked me out. No.
You got to see a woman that didn't have a vagina.
Yeah. The Return of the
Living
Dead.
It wasn't there.
Dead.
It was gone.
It's actually written by Dan O'Bannon, the guy who wrote Alien.
What year is this one?
1985? I was going to say 86, but yeah, 85.
I haven't watched
No, it's more like a Barbie situation.
I watched the original Night of the Living
Return
Dead.
Of the
Night of the Living Dead. They eat brains and vagina.
Yeah, no, Return of the Living Dead was an interesting offshoot because it had nothing to do with George Romero. Had zero to do with
yeah,
it.
Sure.
No, they bring up that movie exists in that movie. They
is the 1980s?
Oh, right,
did you
do,
know
they,
about Night of the Living Dead? They actually bring
right.
it up in the movie.
Yeah.
Is the 1985 one the one that takes place in the shopping mall?
That's Dawn of the 78. Dead.
Return of the Living Dead is interesting because Return of the Living Dead is where the toxin turns the dead into living beings, and the part that frightens me the most is when. The zombie or whatever
you know,
it was
this is
on
horror
the
horror comedy right
I know exactly my point it's not
meant
but
to
that's
be a
it scared
scary
the crap
movie.
Out of me though when I was a kid when he's right when Charman is on the gurney and he's
can you say Tarman? It sounds a little insensitive.
Tarman is the one who's in the tank.
In the tank. No, but I'm talking about the guy that's on the gurney in the was that
the lady?
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That scared me.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
Wayne Nicoba says Grease 2 is pretty horrible.
Hey, that's an honorable mention. That's one of the best movies ever. But no, Return of the Living Dead scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. And then I watched it again as an adult. And I realized how dumb I was because it's a very funny movie.
The two movies that scared me when I was a kid was Silence of the Lambs and
It was kind of like funny.
It was It.
It was, yeah. But it sucks. Don't ever. If you were scared by It as a kid, don't watch the what's his name, the Nostalgia Critic review of the original It.
Yeah,
because it just like completely craps on it and makes it like
don't
not
watch
good.
The Nostalgia Critic.
Don't watch the Nostalgia Critic.
Don't watch YouTube, basically.
Swan is addicted to the nostalgia critic.
So. Like watching this show. It's just listening to a bunch of people complain about stuff and rip it apart.
That's true. Except we're more elegant.
I don't like
fun.
Anything.
Watch us is what we mean. But
I'm waiting for you to say you like something.
Hey, Ron, do you have...
I know you like me, though.
So were there good. Any movies that scared you?
You didn't say yes.
Back to the Future.
I totally heard that, too, Kaimon. I totally heard that.
Are you going to have a first horror movie?
Yes, Charmander was on the gurney.
First horror movie or just
No. A horror movie that actually scared you when you were young.
The last choice to come and save him.
Definitely would have to be Hellraiser and Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, Hellraiser's
a good one.
Hellraiser
yeah.
scared me.
I actually was too scared to watch Hellraiser.
Really?
Me and my cousin the had our ways.
The only scene
watching.
I saw was the gym scene where they lock the doors shut and they start shooting chains everywhere and the CDs go flying into people's skulls and stuff.
That's part
oh, Hellraiser 3? That's Hellraiser 3.
That's part 3. That's a much way lesser later. Movie.
That is an awful kid, movie, yeah. actually.
The first one is the guy who's in the attic, and he's kind of starting to become human. So he's got he doesn't have skin, but he's got the meats. And he's a real effing
I don't
creep,
think you've
like,
seen the.
I don't think I've. Yeah. I haven't watched any of them. I didn't go back and watch any.
You need to watch the original Hellraiser because it is frightening.
Yeah, the first one.
It's frightening.
I don't want.
You need to do that because it's terrifying.
Yeah, that third.
You have such delights to show me
the decline of that.
Right, right. Hellraiser, Hell on Earth. It's terrible.
Come on.
What about you, Professor
Barry? The best one's Hellraiser Deader.
No, it's not. What scared you when you were growing up as a kid?
I was just telling Aaron about this. Pet Cemetery terrified me. Yeah. Terrified
That's
me.
A pretty scary one.
Really?
Zelda?
Really?
Yeah.
Zelda Rubenstein?
Hey, in my next book, the erotic horror coloring book, I'm going to do an erotic Zelda.
Yes!
Oh
from Poltergeist or
no,
from
Zelda,
Pet Cemetery?
Pet Cemetery. So it's twisted, what is she? What does what she had like?
Spinal meningitis.
Spinal meningitis. Which is the new hot thing, by the way. It's super sexy.
Can we say that?
Wow.
Meningitis? Just did.
It's very clinical.
I will say this. Poltergeist scared me, especially the part.
Not, really?
Are you kidding me? When he's tearing his
Spielberg's Poltergeist.
When he's tearing his face off in the mirror.
That's
a disturbing.
That scared the crap out of me.
They actually are doing a maze for that, Universal Horror Nights.
Oh yeah.
And somebody did a run through of it, and there's actually the moment where the guy's ripping his face off.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
You want to talk about scary movies that weren't scary that I was scared by? Was Cat's Eye. By Stephen King's Cat's Eye.
Oh, with the
little gnome guy who's sucking the breath out of and the cat comes and rescues the baby.
Yes, that's good. That is good.
It's a great movie.
That was fun because that was three little stories, wasn't it? Yeah, three little stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was the other stories in that?
Quitters Incorporated about the smoker, and then the ledge where Robert Hayes has to climb.
I only remember Cat's Eye.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it's a fun little movie. I'll never forget
that. That was a good one.
I will say.
I think I liked the little troll, too, because he had the little. It looked like a Lego sword. It was. I loved Legos back then.
I'll tell you what movie.
Back then, he hates them now.
I grew out of that, guys.
I hate Legos.
Don't touch my Legos.
I'll tell you what movie scared me. I was older at the time. It's not stupid, but it's a good movie. It's Creepshow 2.
Wooden Indian?
No, not the Indian.
Really?
The stupid oil slick thing in the water.
Oh, my God.
The garbage bag.
That wasn't scary.
No, it was. It scared the crap
out
of me.
They're don't go in the water. Okay, go. Yeah, it'll
Oregon,
be fine.
I kind of slightly fantasize about having premarital sex on a raft just
in the middle of a reservoir for no reason.
Just just to play with fate, to tempt fate. To see if that would actually happen to me.
That's the stupid slime.
That's a cool
slime in the ocean is so ominous in the movie. It's just creeping around the raft, going away, coming back.
When things move slow, they start to be funny.
It is.
It gives you time to be make jokes and stuff.
I there's that movie.
I'm not going to lie. I like two better than the first
water
one.
Kinda,
I can't even remember the first one.
Hey, stop that.
No, I'm not saying it's bad, but I prefer the second one.
The first Creepshow is scary with Ted Danson getting buried.
Buried alive? Yes.
Up to the net. He has to drown in live time while Leslie Nielsen watches.
Watches him, yeah.
That's messed up, bro.
And E.G. I tell you what, the one that frightened me was the one with E.G. Marshall and the roaches. I hated that one. That was gross.
I don't know. I think because I saw the second one first, that's always the one that lingers.
The first Creepshow is much scarier to me.
Really?
Especially with the creature in the box. And she's just, everyone's just like, oh, it's what's that actress's name? Amazing actress?
Adrienne Barbeau.
Yes. Yeah. Just call me Billy. Like, it's so awesome.
I'm with you, though, Gannon, because what I like about the second film is it's a down and dirty B movie. Because the first one is a slick studio movie. It's a great film. But the second movie is a sleazy New World cinema movie.
I love the hitchhiker part most in that movie.
I want to put a
thanks
quick,
for the ride, ladies.
A quick question to the chat is if there's any 80s or 90s horror movies that you guys were scared by that'll contribute to this conversation.
I thought we've already been
we mentioned a few of them.
No, I know. I just if there's any we're missing.
I think there's a few actually. I think the John Carpenter's
Cool
Alien.
As Ice.
John Carpenter.
That's a good one.
Drop cool that zero. Get with the hero.
Get the hero. John Carpenter's a thing is very scary. That was definitely frightening, especially
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I want to know this.
That was horrifying. Yeah. That when I was a kid, my vision of hell. You know the nightmare he has where they pick up the bike by the claw and bring it to the vat? My vision of hell is they picked you up with that claw by the junk and dangled you over a lava vat.
What? What the?
I think it's got problems.
Yo, when you die and that's hell, you can come and find my spirit in heaven and tell me I was right.
Fair enough. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
He brought up The Thing.
Yeah.
And I want to know this from you, who considers yourself a professional critic or whatever. In the canon of John Carpenter films, The Thing or Halloween, which one edges out for you?
Halloween.
Halloween's the one that edges it out.
It is. And although I think his scariest movie is In the Mouth of Madness. That's my
yes!
Name. I think that's the one. It just bothers me the most. Sutter Kane scares me.
Yep.
The imagery in those books scares me. The scene where he's reading that story and we're constantly seeing it from a different point of view and the phone of the cop is sitting right in there next to him scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, I'm
the
with you.
The scene where he's driving alone at the night and the little boy keeps driving past him, he gets older and older. That movie scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, I am with you 100% on that. Yeah. I have to say, though, I am in the opposite camp. I think it's because I found The Thing more ominous than Michael Myers at the time, because I didn't know I could pick out Michael Myers, I could see him. I didn't know what The Thing was.
Paranoia is a big part of that movie.
That scared the crap out of me.
Where do you stand with it? Halloween or The Thing?
I have a hard time because I like them both, but it's an apples and oranges thing. I actually think I probably like The Thing more.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not disrespecting Halloween
because
by any stretch.
I think there's more meat to the bone.
Disrespect Halloween. It's not very good.
I like The Thing more because there's more meat to the bone.
Exactly.
God.
We got a couple of them.
No, but there's more to The Thing than there is in Halloween. And Halloween is just constant, relentless being chased. Whereas
right.
The Thing, there's paranoia involved.
Right.
And there's
you never know.
Mystery involved and all these kinds of
I
things.
I tell you what, The Thing that freaked me the frick out
and
in the movie.
And The Thing was never, the same form ever.
Never.
It's always a different thing. So you never knew what you're going to be dealing with.
I was at the edge of my seat, and I have to tell you something.
I mean, the Petri dish scene.
My butt was clenched because when he puts the metal into the blood with the oh my gosh, I was freaking out.
The thing of it is, it's a jump scare.
Yes,
but it's a very well executed jump scare because they take their time setting it up.
Man.
It's not like all of a sudden they just do that. It's like they take their time. Yeah. Building up the tension before they do it.
Carpenter's a master of suspense.
Yeah,
we got a few good ones in the chat.
Yeah, I get some great
Jacob's
ones
Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder.
The Howling.
Terrifying movie.
DJ has hopped up on pain meds. He said The Birds.
The Birds is The Birds is great. It has a horrible ending, but The Birds is great.
The Shining and Kaimana Yamada also says Cujo, the scene where the kid swallows his tongue.
If anybody, listen, I want to get back to Kaimana's one really quick. If no one has ever seen Jacob's Ladder, that is probably the
earliest. I only saw the previews for Jacob's Ladder and was scared by
that. That is one of the earliest films actually about PTSD that you will see. It is frightening. And Adrian Lyne does a great job.
I got one that really traumatized me as a kid.
Hmm.
Candyman.
Really?
What year did it come out?
92.
So I was 11 years old when that came out.
You hear that Jordan Peele might be making the remake for that now?
I trust him, man. Yeah. He's got, like, he can hit that nostalgia note to make Candyman a character, but also.
I don't think he's going to go for a nostalgia note.
Candyman was such a good story.
I think
you have to do
really
a little bit.
It still
applies.
You can still modernize and it's still. But
it's
who's,
so
who's.
It's scary. It was so scary. The first Candyman was scary as hell.
My problem was is that
Tony Todd
was great in the film. The only thing that took me out of that in the original Candyman was Virginia Madsen. I didn't. Yeah.
I like her in that.
Really?
It's one of the few movies I really like her.
Is she the white woman?
Yeah, the white woman.
Yeah,
she was scary. She was scary as hell in that movie at the end.
No, she is. But what I'm saying is that I didn't. I don't know. I felt Tony Todd was, I don't want to say overacting, but he was out-acting her, and I guess he had to at some point, I guess, because of the way his performance was. I thought he was excellent.
Only good as racist. You mean that white lady?
White lady. I can't believe it. That's funny. I would never put Candyman as one of the scariest movies that I've seen.
It was just off that kid's junk in the
yeah,
toilet, dude.
And that kid is special needs, man. That's ruthless.
That is pretty ruthless. Fair enough.
That's evil.
Hey, Aaron, what else scares you, man? Anything else?
Other than showing up every Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the scariest one.
What other movie scared you?
Not much. I tried my hardest to watch Exorcist, but my dad refused.
Really?
To watch Exorcist.
Great movie.
He hates that movie to passion. He tells me a story he saw in the theater, and it's the only movie he drove looking in the rearview mirror the entire time to make sure she wasn't behind, following him in his car.
But she wasn't in the car. She was spider-walking, yeah, chasing him.
You know what movie's actually traumatizing that no one ever talked about? Well, they do talk about it, but not as vehemently as they used to. Rosemary's Baby.
No, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's frightening.
That's my second favorite movie ever. Yeah.
That scared me.
Exorcist 3 terrifies me.
Exorcist 3 is great.
So there's not a single scene in The Nun anywhere near as scary as the confession box scene.
There's another great jump scare in that one, too.
So good. I'm going to go home and watch this tonight because I haven't seen it in a while.
Isn't that considered one of the all-time best jump scares in horror films? I think it is, isn't it?
Because there's no preparing for it.
None. Zero.
Yeah.
You are freaked out.
You can't escape that.
You can't. It's great. George C. Scott is good in that movie. There are things wrong with that movie.
Director's cut actually makes it a lot more solid. It's not a bad movie in and of itself.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not at all. And I think
it's definitely more Brad Dourif.
Right.
Heavy.
Right.
Because that was the way it was designed.
Because I have both cuts, and I think it does take you out when they switch to the... cut that's not remastered.
Because the film stocks are different between the two, so that does kind of take you out of it a little bit. But if that's the best possible version you're going to get of it, then that's the best possible version you get.
But there is a great horror movie from Nicholas Roeg, Don't Look Now, with Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie.
I tell you that movie is kind of a slow. It's like a methodical, very slow moving film, but the ending is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Don't Look Now. Great film. And I don't like much by Donald Sutherland as far as that goes. But
even in the Invasion of the Body Snatchers that he was in?
Oh, that is good too. I actually like Philip Kaufman's version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers almost more than the original. Hmm. I think it's that good. Kaufman's is so good.
Yeah.
I really like that version of it. Yeah. Leonard Nimoy, Genevieve Bujold is in it.
Yeah.
Fantastic film. Is it Genevieve Bujold? And Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum's in it as well. And he's very...
Speaking of Jeff Goldblum.
Did that movie scare you? Yes, it kind of did scare me when he puked on his hand.
No, yeah, where he rips the guy's forearm in half while arm wrestling.
Yes.
My mom made me watch that with her. I was pretty scared of that.
Alika, you will sit down and watch this with me.
She brought me to Natural Born Killers twice in the theater.
What the...
I'm kicking and screaming. I didn't want to go see it.
What the heck, man? Good God.
It explains a lot about you.
Yeah. Well, why don't you go take a shower and I'll come up later and see if you're clean.
Oh, man!
Wait, are you referencing a line or are you really giving me a...
No, he's referencing a line. He's referencing a line.
Well, I was about to say yes.
Definitely referencing a line. Yeah,
totally ruined Rodney Dangerfield for me. Yeah. I didn't realize. It made every, like, watching any of his movies afterwards just the creepiest thing in the whole
world. Ladybugs?
I have to tell you.
It's never the same after that.
We have probably missed a ton of scary films that have gone under the radar as of late. I mean, more recently, if we can talk about it, I think The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2 are very good. I enjoy those movies. They're very good. And I think as far as recently, actually getting to the root of what is scary, I think they do a very good job of it.
What's the scariest movie you've ever seen? Like, what's the one? Because I have one.
Ah, man, that's a tough one. You go first.
Okay. It's a film from South Korea. It's called The Tale of Two Sisters. I've never been more afraid in a movie theater in my life.
I have that at home. I've never watched it.
Came out
Troll 2. Sorry.
Troll 2 is garbage.
Tale of Two Sisters came out in 2004. It's a beautiful film. It really is. Like, it's a beautiful film. But it's terrifying. It's these two little girls. They're moving into this house, and they've got this stepmother who's a total monster. And by the way, the house is haunted. The pacing of it, the filmmaking of it, it's full of nightmarish imagery. It's brilliant. But I saw it with my buddy Zach, who is a serious horror movie fan like I am. And about an hour into the movie, I turned to him. I'm like, do you want to go, man? Because this is really more than I thought it would be. We both were like, oh, my God. But we stuck through it. But to this day, I haven't watched it a second time. I'm actually showing the trailer for it on my Akaku show on Halloween because I'm like, you know, showing some recommendations for Halloween. Even watching the trailer made me very uncomfortable. The movie just really got me.
Nicely done plug, by
it's
the
only because you can't understand what they're saying.
I didn't say the name of the show. It could be a lot of stuff in Akaku.
Fair enough.
I didn't say what channel.
Tale of Two Sisters I do have at home. And
watch
I
it, man.
I will
do
watch
you
it.
Have it, Aaron?
Why
not?
No.
You buy everything.
I will say this. He does have. There is something interesting about foreign horror films that I find incredibly interesting because a lot of horror films are. No. It's like you find. What I like about foreign horror films is that what you find, what other cultures find scary,
yeah.
I find that fascinating.
Like a Serbian film?
Pass. I will say, I tell you what did frighten me, and it did such a great job.
I love Gozu, Takashi Miike's Gozu.
Tell me what you think, Kaimon.
Where they're driving, the guys that slam the brakes, but he goes flying, and then when he goes to check up on him, his eyes are just like this. That bugged me out for a while. I think I stopped the movie just the way he was just sitting there like this and staring at the guy because he was dead.
Right.
That's a lot of disturbing stuff in Gozu.
It is pretty disturbing.
Gozu,
a woman gives birth to a full-grown man.
You just spoiled the whole ending, man.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I'll tell you what movie scared me.
That's like the peak of that movie.
How long has the movie been out?
Huh?
Gozu's been around for a while.
No one's going to see that movie if we don't tell them about it.
I will say this.
Takashi Miike, the author of Audition, goes is a hell of a film. There's a lot of incredible.
Audition's incredible. Yeah. Good Lord, Audition scared the crap out of me.
I like Ichi the Killer, too.
I love Ichi the Killer. That's
opening
a great movie.
Is fantastic.
It's freaking great. I'll tell you what foreign film scared the crap out of me.
The Audition, though, is that all of the packaging spoils everything.
You know, and I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I think that it is a mistake to package the movie they did in America because the first half of that film, spoiler alert, is a very different movie than what it actually is.
And I completely agree, but what sucks is there's hardly any imagery except for what's at the end to use for your cover to tell people it's a horror film.
I guess.
So it's a double-edged sword. You do or you don't.
Because that's the one with the that's like kind of like a romantic comedy at the beginning.
Kind of, sort of.
It's kind of a little Fatal Attraction-ish, a little single-way female-ish, where things seem okay at first, and then things start getting a little twisted.
Kitty. Oh, my gosh.
I want trash bag. You know, it should have just been a trash bag for the cover.
Oh, my gosh. I get chicken skin when I hear
fantastic.
That. I tell you what, the great Spanish film that I love as recently, scares the crap out of me, other than like Water for Chocolate.
What are we going to do for the Halloween episode?
Is Wreck. I love Wreck. Wreck is fantastic.
Wreck it, Ralph?
No, Wreck.
I'm gonna wreck it.
Wreck is great. If you've never seen Wreck before, it's short for Record. It is a Spanish film by Paco Plaza.
I thought that was like the remake of Crash.
Forget the director's name. No, you should see Wreck. It's fantastic.
Spanish remake of
and
Crash.
And do not watch it in English. Watch it in Spanish. It is amazing.
Don't see Quarantine instead.
Yeah,
see Wreck.
Quarantine's good. I'm not gonna lie, but I do like Wreck. Wreck 2 is very good. You can pass on Wreck 3.
I like Wreck 2 more.
Yeah, Wreck 2 is fantastic. Freaking Wreck 2 is so good, man.
Wreck 2 is aliens to Wreck.
Kind of, sort of is. Yeah, you're right.
Because it takes it and expands on it. And,
I agree with that.
The only
I actually just bought, well, I didn't get it yet, but I ordered the box set of all four, even though the other two suck. But
yeah. I thought 4 was okay. I thought 3 was not good at all.
I only like 3 because it starts found footage, and they actually have the moment in the movie that
where they switch to a real
where
movie.
Where the guy's just like, why are we still filming? And then he smashes the
that's
camera,
great.
And it's a regular movie
then it's
there,
a regular
from
movie
then
on for then on.
I like that movie for that, but that's about it.
I tell you what movie frightens the heck out of me, and it's not even a horror movie. I was
Madison County.
Totally creeped out by Clint Eastwood's performance in Bridges of Madison County. No, I'm just kidding.
I totally agree.
No.
Driving Miss Daisy.
I will tell you, I have to tell you something. Old Boy creeped me out.
Just because he ate the squid?
Not even close.
Because he cuts his tongue out at the end?
Daniel Plagel said he likes Wreck in English dub. I can't handle that movie in English dub. I gotta watch
the American remake.
Quarantine.
Old Boy? Really? Old Boy?
Old Boy scared me. I mean, it creeped me out. It shouldn't scare me.
I was saying it's a raw nerve movie because by the, when it finally reaches the end, you're just like, you just feel raw from watching it.
You don't You don't feel good about yourself.
The story is very depraved.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to say that because I'm not him. So it's not like oh, I'm a piece of crap now.
No, but you feel like a piece of crap for watching it almost. Like, God dang, man.
Maybe that's just you. I didn't feel like
maybe,
that at all.
Maybe, but
that's
yeah.
That's the way I feel when I watch all movies.
That's why. That's why I think these people feel watching this show.
It's quite possible.
Feel like a piece of crap? Must be watching the Nerd Watch.
Did you guys ever watch High Tension?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I just saw that recently for the first time.
Oh, you mean Hot Tension by Alexander?
Yeah.
That's the guy.
That's a great one.
But that and The Strangers are the only like scary movies that I've seen organically in the last 15 years or whatever.
Wow. I find it.
We never talked to you about the second Strangers, did we?
No.
Did you see it?
I did.
Professor Aaron saw it.
And I've been wanting to talk to you about the remake of Inside, which I also saw recently too.
Yeah,
which I was incredibly overwhelmed by. Yeah.
It was terrible.
Said Larry.
Did we talk about the remake of Inside on the show?
I remember you were talking about. You were actually really disappointed because I liked the original.
The original version of it is actually a really great movie. But then the sequel basically turns it into a Friday the 13th film. It just keeps on going and going, and you're just like, you're trying to like, okay, where's the ending of this film kicking in? Because it just feels like it should have ended. She gets someone over on the I don't want to spoil too much, but the killer knocks her out. She moves on. Killer comes back. And it's a Friday the 13th film. It just takes a really cool premise to a movie. It turns into a Friday the 13th film in the worst way.
Interesting.
And they completely changed the ending of the movie, and I didn't like that either.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's got this weird swimming pool ending where it's trying to make like this fetal visual, and I thought it was really forced.
Yeah.
Real pedestrian movie. Real safe movie. It felt like a...
I couldn't understand why you'd want to remake it, because, again, it just felt like a cheap version of something that was actually way more interesting.
You mentioned High Tension. I mean, this was a point... This was the European extremity movement where a lot of filmmakers were... Serbian film is one of the examples of this.
Mm.
They're extremities.
These are movies where, like, the violence was so extreme that it was a problem even getting these movies distributed in the U.S.
Mm.
And Inside is one of those examples of film that, I mean, it's too much, but there's also greatness to it.
Kind of like Frontiers. Anybody watch Frontiers?
I've read a lot about it. I've never actually watched it.
You should see it.
Martyrs is one of those examples.
Martyrs is another one. Yeah.
Martyrs is also a rough watch.
Yeah. Final Frontier with the Star Trek's.
Wrong one.
Martyrs. What I liked about Martyrs is that it's a short movie, but it feels a lot longer.
Yeah.
However, I don't know how he made that pace work, but it feels like the first hour is one movie,
right?
And then where you feel like the movie ends, where she gets out, she doesn't get out, and then there's a whole nother movie right after that,
right?
And I remember watching it, thinking like, I thought it was done, and it just keeps on going. And it felt like it was a lot longer than it actually was. I can't remember exactly what the runtime is anymore, but it felt like two movies right next to each other.
An hour and 23
seconds. You know what's funny is I haven't seen that in a while. And
there's a remake to that, too, but I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I want to
after seeing the Inside remake, I don't know if I want to bother.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, there are a lot of, like I said, I'm hoping, bringing it back to more recent films, one of the biggest films right now is Panos Cosmatos' film, which is Mandy, which looks incredible. And Panos Cosmatos, if I'm not mistaken, is he not the son of George? He is the son of.
He is? Cool.
He might be.
Yeah. No, he's not.
Did you do the Happy Dance, Joy?
I will say this: that Mandy film, I had to watch it because it looks incredible. The visually it looks stunning.
And
everybody is ranting and raving about it. Yeah.
I just bought it on a whim because
it's Pete Cage, apparently.
Peak Cage.
So this is.
Do y'all see The Void?
Yeah.
I'm sure Francine has.
The Void.
The Void's great.
Stop it. Stop
hey,
it.
Hey, she can talk about it.
No, she can't. But yes, I saw.
But have you seen The Void?
No.
Yeah. It's really good. It's very John Carpenter's The Thing meets Clive Barker's Hellraiser. Wow.
Yeah, it's very. And it's also very. It feels very 80s-ish-esque.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. The music is very synth driven, so it does that kind of gives an ease.
Maybe that's what I'm
visually
yeah.
about it makes you feel like it's the '80s, but I think you like it.
Okay. And
did you like the second Strangers?
The
Strangers Pray at Night.
Everybody talks about the pool scene. That's seriously the only thing I liked about the whole movie.
Yeah.
It is a very well-made scene, but the rest of the movie around it, not so much. I think that movie just took too long to come out.
Should I watch it or no?
If that came out right behind the second, yes. the first one, I probably would have liked it better.
Thank you.
There's just too much time between the two movies. But I was hoping, because they'd always talked about it when the first movie came out, that when they were talking about the sequel, that Liv Tyler's character was going to carry over.
Right.
That
yeah.
she actually survived somehow. And then she, like, they were going to be doing their thing, but she was not coming after them. I would have loved to have seen that movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't get to
Aaron see it. Said that he liked the second half better than the first half or backwards. Yeah.
Strangers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting from the pool scene to the end.
Yeah, the pool scene is fantastic. Movie. Like, yeah. you can tell that the director of that movie knew this is going to be the peak of the film, and he yeah. really went all out with that scene.
The yeah. use of air supply, though, I got to say, I think it just takes the piss out of that film.
Yeah.
I'm all I love.
Don't
well,
use,
you see, that's
filmmakers don't use that in a horror movie.
I'm so lost with
going love back to the you. '80s thing and how it's so played out. Like I could not understand why there's so much '80s sounding music in that movie
because
it's not an '80s film.
Yeah,
so I couldn't enough. Understand why that was such a big part of that movie.
They just like '80s.
Yeah, they think they just like '80s.
'80s is good music, and I think if you're trying to sell a movie set in the '80s, it's totally fine. But if it's a movie that's supposed to be set in 2017, 2018, yeah. but all you're really hearing is '80s music, and it's music only we hear, not the characters
at right.
the time. It's just something that's playing in the background for us to hear.
Right.
I couldn't make sense of it. It's just they're trying to capitalize on the Stranger Things type of thing.
Right, of course.
Or that vibe.
Well, listen, gents, this and lady, this has been an amazing talk about horror films. It's too bad we couldn't save it for Halloween.
Has it?
But it's been very good. But I'm sure there's a lot more detail we can get into during Halloween. But before we leave, we have to check in with the man, the myth, and the cinema scholar legend. We like to call him Aaron. It's time for him
to talk about hard media.
It's time to
too good
whip
to buy
out
himself.
His sack and reveal all the
I
hard
did buy
media
this week,
he's got this week. So what's new this week in hard media,
he bought
media,
the 11th
Aaron.
Season of Big Bang Theory for some reason.
Ah, no. Negative.
So what is coming out?
So the one I bought this week was Lethal Weapon Season 2. I like the way it ended. It's really unfortunate that Clayton Crawford got mixed up in all this.
Have you seen the follow up on that? I've been watching
Sean William Scott's taking over
yeah,
the role.
No. But he's been actually coming out and talking about what actually was happening. Behind
yeah, he was
the
on
scene.
A podcast talking
there's
about
a,
it.
There's a podcast.
He has
couple
his
of
own podcast
out there.
Too.
Yeah,
crazy.
Anything pretty hellacious stuff, man.
Yeah, it
I don't
is,
know
man.
Who I believe in that scenario.
I don't know either. Who? What else is coming out?
The 11th season and most likely the last season of The X-Files.
Most likely the last season.
Doesn't want to come back for it.
Dang it. Damn you, Gillian Anderson.
And I like the comeback seasons, 10 and 11.
Ooh, did you guys see the...
There's good stories.
The Barbies that were released, the X-Files Barbies.
No.
They're like super like spot on, amazing yeah. Barbies.
There's a Smoking Man Ken doll I'm getting.
What else is coming out, sir?
Shout Factory did a steel book of Platoon.
Ooh.
Great movie.
Oliver Stone's...
Best Picture winner of 86.
86, and also his memoir, basically.
There's only 10,000 being made, so...
Nice.
Yep.
I just want one.
And another great movie, Papillon.
Oh, you mean Papillon.
Papillon.
Starring...
I say Papillion, like him.
It stars Steve McQueen... Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, the good version, not this.
Oh, so this is not the remake.
Not
okay.
No.
Okay.
This is one of
this
the greatest
the
prison movies of all time, without a doubt.
You,
yeah. Devil's
you
Island.
Obviously have not seen Caged Heat.
I have. It's good, but it's not Papillion good.
There's a moment in the film that was actually shot on Maui.
Yes, that's what I heard. I didn't know if that was the truth
that's
or not.
True.
Oh,
I looked
wow.
it up. Yeah, I talked to the Maui film commissioner. It is true.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that. I mean, I heard the rumor, but I didn't know it was real.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yep.
What else is coming out, sir?
This is a great show. It's on. It's a Hulu original.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Daniels is the star. It's called The Looming Tower.
Oh, yeah, The Looming Tower.
Is that the one he got an Emmy for?
Yes.
No, that's for Godless on Netflix.
Wow.
But he was nominated for Looming Tower, too. So he was up for two Emmys this last
good for him.
The other night.
Looming Tower is about 9/11, right?
Yeah. It takes place at the start of 9/11. The
surprising, he was never nominated for Dumb and Dumber 2.
an Emmy?
Probably a Razzie.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
That's kind of the point.
You didn't say Oscars.
Oh, gotcha.
You're trying to make a joke, but you just made yourself look stupid. Congratulations.
You're a movie guy. Yeah. Come on.
He said it right in front of Barry, too.
That's true. I did.
He did deserve that Emmy, though.
It was good.
My silence is my disappointment.
What else?
He did deserve that Emmy, though, for that Netflix show.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a couple episodes. There's only 7 episodes because it's a limited series.
Speaking of limited series, I started watching Sons of Anarchy. It's actually really good.
Only now?
No kidding. I only started watching it now.
I'm
on episode 9 of the first season.
The good guy. The main guy dies at the end.
I'm not going to listen to you.
I actually don't even know. I didn't watch the show.
God. I'm really liking it.
I was trying to pull a Bernardi on you.
I know. Yeah, don't. Don't do that. What else is coming out, Aaron?
That's it.
Oh. What are you talking about? That's it.
Gannon brought it in, but Jurassic World.
He's too good to buy that.
Fallen apparently. Kingdom.
He is too good to buy that, but I have
but
to.
But nobody really cares about that.
I'm with him, actually.
Hey, I'm part of the juice, damn it.
I'm actually with him on that, but the problem is that I'm a movie collector, so I'm going to have to buy that because it has to.
It's weird
because
this guy will buy all the Step Up movies, but he's like, Fallen Kingdom? No way.
I only own one Step Up movie.
That's the best High School Musical 3, yes. Fallen Kingdom.
Let's be honest.
Those movies are the dogs.
Kingdom is awesome. Fallen Kingdom is awful.
It is better than Jurassic World. It's much better, but it's still not very good.
It's freaking awful. It's terrible. We forgot to mention.
I'll tell you, Failure to Launch is a great movie.
Really? Whoa. Failure
with
to
Terry
Launch.
Brad,
she's teasing me how much I love Failure to Launch.
I just assumed you love Failure to Launch.
Okay. That's pretty it.
What about,
That's
what
pretty
about,
great.
What about 2 If by C? Do you like that one too? That's
no.
A deep cut.
I like,
really
I like Dennis Leary, movies. But I do not like the movie, no.
They're the art thieves or something in that
yeah.
movie?
Yeah.
I don't
that's
even know.
That's a really bad movie.
That's not bad. That's pretty bad.
It is.
Yeah. Wow. You know what else came out today digitally? Mandy. Also came out digitally was Solo. Solo came out digitally today.
Solo's been out since last week.
What's been it? Really?
Yeah, I see.
Because Solo's on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Because Solo's this Tuesday, yeah. right? Yeah, it's going to be coming, I should say, the following Tuesday.
Ironically, the only good Star Wars movie in the last couple of years.
Ironically enough, you are right.
I actually got a little bit of breaking news here.
What?
Apparently, Warwick Davis, in an interview, is saying that the Willow sequel is becoming more and more likely.
Huh. Is that with or without George Lucas?
More and more likely.
Yeah, apparently it's
a. They can't give us solid info. Yeah.
Well, nobody's signed anything yet, but
cementing more rumors.
It wouldn't be called Willow 2. It'd apparently be a Laura Dannen.
Laura
story.
Dannen.
So he would be there and pick up 30 years later.
That's really interesting because that story. I mean, I wonder if they're going to do the books or not. Chris Claremont and George Lucas wrote a series of books that was the sequel to Willow. Willow is intended to be The Hobbit, and the three books are meant to be like Lord of the Rings. He wrote a book called Shadow Moon, Shadow Star, Shadow Dawn, and they're about Willow Ufgood changing his identity and kind of discovering what happened to Laura Dannen and being her protector when she's a woman. They're great.
All I need to see is Warwick Davis running around yelling
Allura.
Cool. I mean,
what's cool about it too is they can get away with just doing it as its own movie, and Willow's just something that happened before.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't have to make it a sequel necessarily. Right. It can just be another story, and Willow is something that just ties back to
it. And that's sans Mad Mardigan, right?
Yeah, Mad Mardigan
obviously,
is actually.
I would not want to see Mad Mardigan now.
How dare you?
Well, he dies at the beginning of the first book. So, anyway,
spoilers!
I don't know if they're going to.
For those of you that don't read.
For those of you that didn't even know there were Willow books.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to adapt Shadow Moon, Shadow Star, and Shadow Dawn.
I imagine probably just going to create something new.
They probably would, too.
Would.
Well, that's interesting. So other than that, I am, right before we take off.
Daniel's asking me, what about Fool's Gold?
With Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson? I actually liked it.
I'm afraid to answer that because I know I'm going to get flack for it, but I love that movie.
Don't answer. Oh, don't do it.
But not as much as Failure to Launch. Failure to Launch is great.
Flack.
And I don't know how you...
First of all...
You know the best part about Failure to Launch is that Kathy Bates says the name of the movie in the trailer, And that's like the first thing that makes me hate a movie. Unless it's the name of a character that the movie's named after. I think it's so dumb.
I totally disagree with you.
Well, this is as good
as
it gets.
Batman Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah. I have
if
to
that
say,
happened in the movie, I would actually hate that.
Yeah. I just spilled some grease, too.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, I'm having a nightmare on Elm Street.
Did you just say you spilled some grease, too, on yourself? Wow.
Well, actually, Fool's Gold is good, but it's not as good as Sahara.
First of all, Failure to Launch, I don't
agree. Black.
Look at that Jedi Return.
I do not agree with you with Failure to Launch. I think that How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, though, is actually a good movie.
Yeah.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is actually pretty good. So I'm with that.
Why are we talking about the films of Matthew McConaughey before the McConaissance? I don't know. That's right.
The McConaissance happened. Is it pre or post Magic Mike?
Or it's around that period.
All I know is it didn't happen until Tropic Thunder.
We're talking about it because no one saw White Boy Rick this weekend.
That's true. No one did watch White Boy Rick this weekend. Apparently, it's the performance of his career. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
More than Dallas
Buyers. They haven't seen him in Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation.
And they haven't seen him in Failure to Launch.
Fair enough. Let's not mention Interstellar or, you know, Wolf on Wall Street.
Well,
Failure
to Launch introduced me to
Gold,
Zooey Deschanel, Bradley Cooper, and Justin Bartho.
Wow.
That was like my first movie with them.
Wow. That
really?
Is crazy.
And he was never the same.
Getting flack ever since.
That's right. All right, well, peoples, it's been an absolute pleasure being here with you tonight. Yeah. thanks. I'm still nerding out on
absolute.
I'm nerding out on Sons of Anarchy
pleasure
right now. I'm also trying to finish up Spider-Man on my PS4. So that's been fun.
I'm never gonna do it.
I won't. The next thing I'm gonna actually finish is probably Red Dead Redemption 2.
I'm gonna let you know right now. Dr. Octavius becomes Dr. Octopus by the end of the game.
Wow. That's a spoiler? Damn, I can't believe you did that to me, man.
That's messed up.
Right now, I'm swinging through toxic clouds for some reason.
Wait, in real life or in the game?
No, in the game. Yeah.
You know that's like a side mission, right?
Yeah, I've been tasked by Harry to take samples.
Wait till you have to go like down into the ocean and like depollute fish.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
Wait till you do that.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious.
All right, I can't wait. All right, Spider-Man is decontaminating fish in the new Spider-Man
game. It sounds like I'm making it up and I'm making a joke, but that's legit a thing you do in the game.
That's pretty sick.
I do actually love playing in the Infinity War suit because he actually has the legs.
The Iron Spider. Yeah, the Iron Spider legs. It's pretty awesome. Hey, Professor Barry, it's past your bedtime.
It sure is.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Are you watching anything this weekend?
You know, I finished season one of Castle Rock. Very disappointed.
Yeah.
So, I was really let down by it. I love that episode where it was all Sissy Spacek. I thought that was brilliant. Amazing episode. But no, otherwise, I felt very unsatisfied with it.
Any new movies coming out this weekend that you're going to be taking?
You know, my next 2 weeks, it's fun. Because thankfully, the editor at Maui Times said, like, yeah, promote the films that you think are going to be important that people need to be aware of. So next weekend, I got my review of Predator, and then the week after that, it's a review of Transformers the movie because it's going to be at the Maui Mall Megaplex on the 27th of this month. And then
the original from Michael Bay with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, my God, no,
shut
man,
your face.
No.
Oh,
no.
Then I'm not going.
No.
Yeah, one night only. Transformers the movie, the 27th. Orson Welles, Leonard Nimoy,
Robert Stack,
yeah. Judd Nelson. Yeah.
Are we going to go watch it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we are.
Are we going to go watch it together?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Are you
I'm not going. I hate Transformers.
Wow. What the hell?
Because I don't like anything.
Thanks, Cannon, for putting him up to that.
And then starting in October, we got the Stephen King edition of Horror Fest at the Queen Kamano Theater. Every Wednesday night, it's going to be a new Stephen King film.
Shut your face. What?
Carrie, The Deadpool. Dead Zone, I'm sorry. The Dead Zone.
Deadpool?
Yeah. Dead Zone.
Stephen King's Deadpool.
That'd be a good film. Pet Cemetery, The Shining. there's a couple more. But anyway, yeah.
Misery's in there.
Misery, yes. Misery.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, let's pick a couple so we can all watch it together and hold hands.
I'm planning on Pet Cemetery because that was to see that on the big screen would be a really big thing for me.
So. Nice. I would love to watch The Stand.
We could be there all night.
Can we do that?
You know what?
Watch the stand
we can watch The Stand and watch the Langoliers.
God, That's as long as a typical Nerdwatch episode.
That is true.
That spells moon.
The Tommyknocker.
Tommyknockers.
The Langoliers scared me, though, when they're all there, they're in the airport by themselves and they have time is eating. Oh, man, that scared me. That was good stuff. Anyway, we're out of time. Listen, Gannon, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. When's the next time we're going to see you, if ever?
I should probably take a moment to actually promote one of my shows while I'm here.
You should. Go right ahead.
Because Wednesday just before Maui Comic Con, we're going to be doing a show at Lava Rock.
Sweet.
We're going to be doing Misfits 3.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So a Misfits themed show for Halloween just the week before Halloween. So we're going to be doing that just a couple of days before Maui Comic Con. So if anybody's here a couple of days in advance, we can kind of do a little pre-party thing there.
Fantastic. Is it like a ticket thing where you get tickets?
No cover, no nothing. Fantastic. We would love for you guys to donate money to us so we can put our record out. But other than that, just show up and hang out and have a good time.
Awesome. Fantastic. And you're leaving somewhere. You won't be here for the next few weeks, I guess.
I'm going to be in California.
What are you going to be doing over there?
Stuff you wish you were doing.
That's true. Good point.
Horror nights, that kind of fun stuff. I might hit up the Halloween franchise convention that's going on over there. I can meet two of Jamie Lee Curtis's stunt doubles.
Fantastic. Look at you. Are you going to go get some Trejo donuts?
No.
Maybe
I don't know if you've been looking at me lately, but I should probably ease up on the donuts these days.
How about you going to visit Amoeba Records?
Oh, for sure.
I figured you would. Yeah, very figured you would. All right, well, we're going to miss you.
I'm probably going to do Warner Brothers Studio Tour by myself this time because I think the family hates that I dragged them to it twice. I'm the only one that really cares about it.
Since Todd hates everything, he hates to see you go, by the way.
I know he does.
No, I like that.
But you'll be back after the opening of Halloween, right?
Yeah, I'm going to miss Halloween here. I'll be seeing it out there, but I'll be back just after that.
All right, well, you have a good time.
That's how it is every year.
You'll be sorely missed. You are.
We do this every year.
You're a tentpole of the show.
We don't actually plan it to always land around the same time, but it just kind of
does.
It does.
So I'm used to it. I am not shocked.
He's pitching tents. That's for sure.
He'll be doing that in Cali for sure. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week. And we'll talk about more crazy Nerdwatch stuff.
What can I say? Buy a shirt.
Oh, yes.
Buy a shirt.
Give me this microphone.
Buy two shirts. Buy many shirts.
We've already sold three shirts.
Fantastic.
So, what's up?
Nice. Good job. Check it out. You can check it out you can check out the link on the Maui Comics Facebook page. Yes? Check for the link. Fantastic.
Yes.
You guys can follow us, the Nerd Watch, on Facebook Live, or you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. What? Are you serious?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Wow. What? They're going to do us. We'll save that for next week. That's weird. What? What else?
Oh, and neat. If people want to see what I'm drawing, they can donate to our Patreon account.
Oh, yes.
There we go.
There you go.
And you really want to see what she's drawing.
Yeah, patreon.com/TheNerdWatch, where you can check us out as well. If you have a Spotify, you can download us on Spotify and Spotify playlist as well. Don't worry.
Next week when we find out formats. Scary movie.
Scary movie.
Nobody bothered to ask him this. So
right. I totally
next
forgot.
Week we'll go ahead and ask format. Yeah,
that'll be part of the show next week. Format scary movies. I thought you.
It'll
all
be easy
the...
to fit you in. If Gann is not going to be here, I'm not going to come.
Oh, sweet. Look at you.
Format centric show. Finally, about time.
He didn't say anything about
he doesn't
not
even
being
need to
here.
Show up
he said he's not going to come.
Oh, that's very true. All right, so for
just be me. I'll open the shop and close the shop. Apparently, it'll just be me and the camera.
There you go.
Myself. I'll live feed from my phone because my phone works. Hey. Unlike Jesus,
just make it a Twitch stream.
Yeah, make it a stream. That's true. Make it a Twitch stream. Well,
do you have a Twitch stream format?
Yeah, I do. Oh.
See, look at all this news we're missing as we wrap up our show.
Everybody knows. I have a Twitch stream. It's ARKADE. That's Arcade 808.
Yeah.
On the Twitches and the
dude, the lineup for it. You're gonna be happy about.
Does it have Battle Arena Tushinda?
Final Fantasy VII. Jumping Flash, Ridge Racer.
Jumping
Type.
Flash. I love Jumping Flash.
Ridge Racer Type 4, Tekken 3.
That game does not get enough credit.
Jumping Flash?
Jumping Flash.
Yeah, it's good.
G, you don't know what we're talking about.
That's nice.
Yeah, so they're introducing the PlayStation Classic on the interwebs.
Battle Arena Toshinden was a very good game. I mean, for its time at least. Great stuff. I liked it a lot.
20 preloading games.
Nice. Well, guess what, guys? For Aaron.
Yeah, a lot of people are picking up shirts.
Yeah, for Todd Dash. Bernardi.
Ah, someone called me Fran. Yay.
For Format. For my hetero life mate, my cinema soulmate.
Come back next week for the Format show.
Professor Mary.
<We'll be here>.
Professor Mary. The lovely Franny, who is awesome for doing such great work for the My Comic Con. So aloha to you. And, of course, Gannon, you shall be missed.
I'm just disappointed that I wasn't here at the time you guys talked about Spider-Man.
Man, you missed
it. I had
it.
A lot to say about it. But
did you really?
They're
say it, man. Say it now. Say it now. Say it now.
Yes. No, we're wrapping
the second
up.
Half of this.
Yeah, you have 60
show.
Seconds.
I got to get home.
I know. I figured you did.
I got a lot to say.
All right. And the very lovely Kai for joining us tonight as well.
Yeah, thanks, Kai.
Yeah,
get
thanks
your
for
finger
coming.
Out of my butt.
We're out of time. So until next week, peace out. Much love, most
next
surely.
Week.
Always. Stay nerdy. We're out of time.
I mean, if Aaron comes, then you might have to hang out with Aaron.
I am locking the door. You can wait outside. This is going to be the Format only show.
Yeah, Format only show next week. We'll talk Spider-Man too when you get back as well. I want to talk about
it. It'll be like 2 months old by then.
I haven't finished it. I haven't finished it either. All right. I know.
Will you fire up some Monster Hunter already?
I know, I should.
No Dragon Prince, no Iron Fist.
All right, guys. Well, we'll talk more about Netflix, too, coming up next week as well. All right.
The
Bleach
live action show.
Yeah.
Talk about a Death Note
what?
Sequel.
Netflix won, like, 23 Emmys.
They're doing a Girl in the Spider's Web adaptation.
Real? Oh, yes. It's going to be, they actually skipped a book. Skipped a couple of books,
Claire
actually.
Foy is,
Claire Foy is going to be Salander.
Is that a new trailer or the same?
Oh, that's the same one.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. Anyway,
Brandon and Ernie are gay. We could talk about that. That came out today.
Yep. Get it out now, because next week we're not talking about any of that.
So Bert and Ernie, the creator, says like he based that on him and his partner. And that's always been like it's been kind of not closely kept secret at the Sesame Studios. But the people at Sesame Street say, no. They're best friends. They're puppets. They don't. But, yeah. But Frank Oz, you know, voice of Yoda and many other characters said, like, look, we as puppeteers, it's outside of the realm of sex. These are not characters defined by their sex life. They're defined by their friendship.
Amen. Good for
every
you,
every now
Oz.
And then they push the beds together.
And
that's all you need to know.
And who wears who like a sock?
That's right.
They both do, and it's. I mean, it's obvious. They're you know.
They're puppets.
By the way,
you should see their video on chubby.com.
Yeah. By the way, that's coming from the guy who wrote or who directed In and Out. So fair enough, to be quite honest.
In and Out.
Yeah,
he did direct the score. It's a great movie. The
score is very good too. All right, Frank Oz.
Oh, Frank Oz.
Frank Oz. In and Out of the Pink Sock. That's what it should be.
You guys are idiots.
In and Out hamburgers.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Down in flames.
In flames.
Mayday, mayday.
Peace out, much love, most surely.
We are going down.
Till next week, we send you guys aloha.
Yeah.